To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. If you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family, folks, remember this: simply Rocket can. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Pete McCarthy on the updates. I know you're keeping score at home. Matthew Essig running Work or Shoot coming up at 4:40 p.m. Eastern. Also a question of my own patriotism. That's all coming up. We got people who want to get on declining college attendance. We'll get to you guys coming up here. Just give me a few minutes because we got to talk to one of the best. You can find him on Twitter, at Joe Biscaglia. He loves Sox. I hate Sox. Let's talk about it right now. Also, the Buffalo Bills, the AFC East, and maybe even a sneak peek of the 2022 quarterback class for the NFL draft. Joe, thanks for joining us, bud.
Hey, Ken. What's going on, man?
I hate socks. You really love socks that much? I really, really do loathe socks.
I do quite like socks. I have I have quite the extensive collection that I've accrued over the years. You know, they range from a little bit extreme to, you know, just the more subtle ones. But sock game, you know, I have been dabbling into the no sock realm these past couple of summers, but you know, when it starts to get a little bit cooler, you got to dip into some nice little socks.
Let me ask you this: was that caused partially because, like, you're on The Athletic now and you're doing a wonderful job, Joe? I don't know if you do any TV at all. Are you completely off TV now?
No, I still do TV. During the season, I do it with one of the local affiliates here in Buffalo.
See, now that's there. There's my next question on this. Now you don't do as much TV. Did you find yourself, because you were on TV every single night covering sports, did you find yourself having more socks to mix it up because you were wearing suits?
Well, no. This was an obsession that started well before my television career, back when I was in radio with WGR. Yeah, I know. This has been a festering thing for me.
Guys, you got to understand this. Joe Biscaglia joining us on the show, and you can find him on Twitter. Joe is a sensational-looking man. He definitely has a face for television, definitely has a body for television, and is something that I strive to be when it comes to athleticism, and he truly embodies the name The Athletic. I mean that sincere. You know, I've seen you on TV in Buffalo, Joe. I've been through there, so I ain't lying to anybody here.
Oh, I appreciate you, Ken.
I was just talking about this when it comes to college football attendance. I know it's different in the NFL, but I got to get to the stadium issue first, and then we'll talk about a couple of other things.
Sure.
Like, I know that they want amenities, and I think a lot of fans, you know, they look at what they get in terms of value. Like, if you go to, you know, I'm in Cleveland. You go to First Energy Stadium, you got a bunch of clubs there. It's not just go to your seat and watch the game and go home. You got a bunch of clubs there, a lot of chances to spend money, and people feel like they've gotten a good value at the end of the day, unless the Browns lose. And I think that that affects some college football, because if, like, fans go to Ohio State, it's basically pack it in. There's nothing you can do with the concourse. I'm sure there's clubs, but they're hard to get into. And I feel like college football might be a step behind when it comes to the fan experience, the way that professional sports have been at the forefront of it.
Yeah, for sure. I'm totally with you. And, you know, having been to a handful of college stadiums myself, you're dead on with that, where, you know, and you see it with all these new NFL stadiums, because I haven't been to Vegas and I haven't been to the new LA one, but I've been everywhere else. And you see all of the different things all these new stadiums present, and like you astutely pointed out, opportunities to spend money, which is such a huge thing, especially for a lot of these NFL owners. And in Buffalo here, they're kind of going through this whole song and dance now, because Highmark Stadium, which is what they call it now, it was Bills Stadium last year. It's now getting to the point where they know that they can't just continue to do renovations on this, and there's just too much structural stuff on, you know, that's gone wrong with it, that it would cost way too much to fix it. So they have to delve into this new stadium talk, and everything that you're talking about completely lines up to it, whether it be, you know, like my colleague at The Athletic, Tim Graham, who does a great job, and he is just nailing stadium story after stadium story here in Buffalo. You know, whether it comes to the suites or the personal seat licenses or the party decks that you know, fans might want. Just all of this stuff that you have to add to the experience, because people can get really good experiences at home and watching it with their friends when they're not in the building, and so you have to make it worth their time. And you know, if they're going to be spending that much money to get in the building, you have to absolutely make sure you have their full attention outside of just the game.
Joe Biscaglia with us on the show from The Athletic in Buffalo. Now, I'm a guy who doesn't like to talk trash about cities, certainly ones I haven't been to. I have been to Buffalo now many times. I love Buffalo. I love the people. I have family now who live in Buffalo. I want this to work out. I want the Bills to stay in Buffalo. I think it makes sense. Do you believe, looking at all the financials, the back and forth, that something will happen in Buffalo, like this is going to happen and the Bills will stay in that Buffalo, New York area?
Yeah, I do think it'll happen. And that's not just saying it from an optimistic standpoint. You know, I think the relationship between the folks over at PSE, Pegula Sports and Entertainment, and then the actual county and thereby the state, I think they have a good working relationship right now. I think they have a good understanding of what everybody wants here, whether it comes to funding or whatnot. You know, there still is going to have to be some politicking involved, and we're just in stage one of it, where the plans are just starting to establish themselves. But you know, they have at least, from what everything has been reported so far, have found the spot where they want to do it. They want to do it like right across the street, where they still have a bunch of land, and you know, they don't have to do too much infrastructure work. You know, there was a huge thing, a groundswell of fans that wanted the stadium to go downtown and make it you know, this uniting thing, but it didn't make sense from a dollar and cent standpoint, because they would have to do so much to the infrastructure of being able to get massive people inside and outside of the city, and, you know, have the parking and everything, and, you know, try and create that tailgate experience that has become, you know, the kind of the calling card for a lot of Bills fans out there.
Yeah.
You're just not going to get the same thing than what you have in Orchard Park. So they at least have a site that they believe in. They have some land around it, and now it's just a matter of figuring out all the hard stuff, the funding, you know, what it's going to be, how many seats are going to be in there, all the amenities that come along with it. That's where it really comes down to it.
Joe Biscaglia joining us here on the show. Let's go to the field and Josh Allen. And I'm starting to pick up some vibes on Brian Daboll, kind of what Greg Roman's going through in Baltimore, about calling too much to run on Josh Allen. I thought that this was going to be a problem going into the season, the lack of the run game. Do you think we're overrating it just because it's early in the season, or is this something that's going to be concern about, hey, we can't just make him throw it and run it every single play?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they dialed it back a bit last year, too, and they do it in spots. They do it intelligently, and Allen has gotten a lot better at not putting his body on the line when he doesn't need to, whether it be on scrambles or even on designed runs where he's taking it to the edge. He'll go out of bounds rather than put the shoulder down and or try and hurdle Anthony Barr like he did in his rookie season in Minnesota. But all of these different things, they do need to have because he's getting to a point in his career where he, at least last year, he was completely dead set accurate in the intermediate areas where he took his hugest jump. And when you have that sort of leap and you have that ability to move the ball through the air like Josh Allen did last year, you know, less so far in the first 2 weeks of the season, although he's played a couple of good defenses, then you have to really make that the focal point of your offense more than anything. So I don't know if – I think Dable is going to be smart with it. You're not going to see him run a ton of zone read stuff with Josh Allen. You're not going to see him do a lot of keepers. You'll see him down at the goal line area, spread him out and do a quarterback draw. You'll see him when they see the defense trying to you know creep in, maybe have a guard pull around the right or the left side and try and get some yardage and get the quarterback out of bounds that way, just to add a different element. But I don't think it's going to be too over the top moving forward with Dable and Allen.
Watching that offense in the first couple of weeks of the season, you got Washington coming to town. Now, their defense has not been as suffocating as people thought they were going to be going into this season. Are there a defense that concerns you going into tomorrow's game, or how do you expect Buffalo to play this?
Yeah, I think the defensive line is their calling card, right? Like, they have first-rounder after first-rounder, Chase Young, Montez Sweat, Jonathan Allen, all three of those guys are studs. And the Bills' offensive line has not done well so far this year. I mean, they turned it around against Miami, but Miami doesn't really have a great pass rush. The right tackle that the Bills just re-signed to a bunch of money this offseason, Darrell Williams, he's had a horrific start to the year. He needs to be a lot better, and he's going to be going up against either Chase Young or Montez Sweat, regardless of who they have lining up against them. So that's going to be a huge challenge. Deion Dawkins had as scary of a summer as anyone in the NFL when, you know, he got a case of COVID-19 and had to be hospitalized for 4 days and, you know, openly talked about wondering if this was it for him and lost a ton of weight. His conditioning was down. He started the first two games. He's built himself back up and he's getting back to where he was as their franchise left tackle, but he's not all the way there yet. Their left guard, John Feliciano, Cameron Hayward stole his lunch in the first week, and Feliciano did a lot better in the second week, but, you know, he's going to be going up against Jonathan Allen. So that's the major problem area. But I think for the Bills, where they do have an advantage here is if they can properly chip these guys and bring their running back into the backfield to block, then I think there's a major chance for them to be able to exploit that Washington linebacker / secondary, because, you know, they are ceding a bunch of yards to their opponents. And if you properly scheme it and you have a quarterback poised enough to stand in the pocket and you know, and dice them up. We saw a lot of this with the Bills last year going up against a team like the LA Rams in week 3, where, yeah, you know, they highlighted this short passing attack, really utilize Diggs and Cole Beasley on these underneath routes and really pick them apart that way before they open things up down the field. And I'm expecting that because Washington does have some weaknesses in their secondary, like the rookie St. Juste, who is a third-round pick, I think. He's someone you can exploit. You know, William Jackson, you know, I think he's a good player. I don't think he can hang with Stephon Diggs because Diggs is just on another level. And so as long as they can give Josh Allen 2.5 seconds, I think they'll be okay.
Joe Biscaglia joining us on the show. Are you taking Mac Jones seriously?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if he's going to be like top 5 quarterback or anything like that, but as long as you stay within yourself in the NFL, you can carve out a nice long starting career. And if you push the ball occasionally, I think he can be an above-average starter in the league, and he's already showing poise and that all stuff. I can't wait to watch him and break down film when the Bills are taking on the Patriots, just to see what he has been able to do so far this year. But you know, just cursory on the cursory level, my former colleague here on the Bills beat, Matthew Fairburn, he switched over to cover the Patriots, and you know, he said he's done some really nice things. He hasn't like taken over a game just yet, and yeah. I think it's kind of good that they're not doing that for him. But he's taking what the defense will give him, and that honestly, that's something that a lot of young quarterbacks struggle with in the NFL. So I'm curious to see what he does moving forward here for them.
I mean, it would be nice to be able to watch it, but Game Pass doesn't. Oh, my goodness, do we have the All-22 again? Holy cow, we have the All-22 again. I can't believe it.
Yeah,
well, I'll
back.
Be dipped. I take it all back. I didn't believe it. An awful announcement got rid of that tweet, and I go, oh, they're going to delay it again. Sorry, go ahead there, Joe.
Yeah, no, the interface is horrible, but yeah, at least film is film, and so I'm not going to complain about having the access to the film. And I mean, you can learn so much by seeing what happens from the end zone level and seeing the full field view. Yeah, so I am very glad it is back, as I'm sure a lot of people in my profession are.
I just felt, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm paying $99 a year for a glorified DVR. I could have just DVR'd these games. What are we doing? Okay, I got two more questions to ask you about who you're taking seriously, okay? Are you taking the Dolphins seriously in 2021?
No, I'm not. I think their offensive line might be the worst in the league, and that's saying something because the Bills took on Pittsburgh, who is not – they don't really have a great offensive line in week one. I don't love their defense outside of their cornerbacks. Their pass rush isn't all that great. I just don't know how they're going to be able to move the ball consistently enough. That to me, it just screams as a team that's probably closer to 500 or below than it is to challenging for an AFC East crown this year.
Are they in a holding pattern until the Deshaun Watson stuff gets figured out?
Oh, gosh. I honestly, it puts such a bad taste in my mouth to even think about him
in
a trade lens.
Yeah.
It's let that stuff get figured out because it's heinous what he's accused of. So,
they just put Tua Tagovailoa on injured reserve. Meaning he's out for at least three games. Adam Schefter just tweeting that. That's a real tweet. I had to make sure there. Adam Schefter just tweeting that a minute ago. Reed Sinette will be on the active roster for the Dolphins. Did you say who? Because I said the same thing too. Zach Wilson, are you taking him seriously?
It's been a tough start for him, but I do like certain components to his game. He's another one that it's tough because you see a young player like him making a lot of mistakes early, but especially in this New England game, I'm not going to write him off just because Belichick gave him problems. Belichick and his defense and his game plans give every single rookie quarterback problems. It's just a fact of life. I mean, they're going to figure out what you are not doing well right now. And to a lesser degree, Sean McDermott's actually really good at that too. But they're going to figure out what you do not do well, and they're going to exploit it and everything along those lines. And we saw Wilson just chuck the ball up a couple times inexplicably because he was a little bit frustrated, I think. So, yeah, I think for him, I'm in a holding pattern just to see how he grows from that second game. It's so early for these guys' careers. Like, I remember watching Josh Allen in his first season. He was just so wild, so all over the place. But a lot of it depends on the person too, right? Because Josh Allen, to me, one of the things that make him such a unique player is that he is able to self-scout, is completely self-aware, and isn't stubborn to the point where he is going to continue to do things his way. He makes changes, whether it be mechanically or processing-wise, within a week, from one week to the next. And that's like a rare thing for a lot of these quarterbacks because a lot of them will just do the same thing over and over again. So I want to see how Zach Wilson bounces back before we can really figure out who this guy is.
Final one, are we overrating the 2022 quarterback class because the 2021 quarterback class was so exciting?
Man, I'm going to disappoint you, Ken. Like, during the season, I really watched football because I focused so on the NFL, and then once LC ends, I dig in all the college prospects. I have a current knowledge of like Rattler and Will and all that, but I haven't been able to watch them.
Oh, we're having connection problems with Joe. Do we lose Joe? Did we lose Joe? Joe, you there?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, go ahead. If you can repeat the answer, go ahead, because we're having – Essa, can you hear him, or am I not the one able to hear him? Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Try it again, Joe.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to say, I hate to disappoint you, because during the NFL season, I don't watch much college just because I'm so I have to watch so much film on the regular professional level to where I don't really dig into the college guys until after the regular season and the playoffs wrap up. So I have a cursory knowledge of like Spencer Rattler and Malik Wills and all of those guys. But so yeah, I don't have that for you. I'm sorry, man.
It's okay, Joe. I just know you were always a draft guy, but you know what? Sometimes
I am. Still am.
The world moves us on in different directions. That's okay. Well, Joe, you've been wonderful. I can't thank you enough for the time, buddy. All the best.
Sounds great, Ken. Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you. Joe Biscaglia joining us on the hotline. One of the very best. Find him on Twitter at Joe Biscaglia. Absolutely love the guy. 855-212-4CBS. And yes, it's back. I can find it. The interface is terrible. Don't get me wrong. This is bad interface, but at least we have it. I'm not going to sit here and complain. The All-22 is back, and it takes, like, every play a second to freshen up, and then by the end of the play, it's fully fresh. Well, hopefully in week three, it'll get all figured out. But this is still okay. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Coming up next, I got to get back to the college football thing. Several people are making great points about why people are going to college football games less. I can't believe I'm going to admit I was wrong about something. Also, 5 p.m. Eastern, Doug LeMaurice, Cleveland.com. He's got a new book coming out. We'll talk to him. And Work or Shoot, Ken Carmen, CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. Work or Shoot coming up. I'm getting several people in on the college football conundrum. I said, I'll ask Doug LeMaurice this coming up at 5. 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. You know, 76,000 fans there at Ohio Stadium last week for Tulsa. And if you're watching that and you wanted to go see that game, I mean, if you're looking at some of the tickets, I know that tickets always have a precipitous drop. But remember, if you're driving from all over the state, do I want to drive, deal with it? I don't think I do. No. Like, there's always going to be a huge drop right before game time, but do you want to go and deal with that? And then it's also, what am I getting? Am I going to get what I'm paying for? And I think a lot of people with college football say no. We had a caller from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. We had several other people tweeting at us saying, no, they're not getting what they pay for. You go to an NFL game, the NFL is just designed, even the bad teams still get beat by a touchdown. Like, yeah, you got 23-9 quote-unquote blowouts in NFL football games, and there's usually a big blowout every week and an upset every week. That's the way the NFL is designed, but most are within a touchdown. And most of the horrible, horrible teams in the NFL, the teams that, I mean, we're a little bit different now because teams are tanking, but the classic bad teams in the NFL, you're that close. The ball bounced that far away. I'm an Akron fan. I'm an Akron alum. Akron's going to go out and have their ass handed to them tonight at 7:30 at Ohio Stadium. There's no faith. There's no hope. There's no nothing. I don't care what Bowling Green did earlier today in Minnesota. It's a different animal. Akron's going to go out and have it handed to them. It'll be nice to see Akron on TV under the lights at Ohio Stadium, but that's about it. If you're a fan of the Texans, you can talk yourself into winning a game in the next week. If you're a fan of the Jaguars, you can talk yourself into winning a game. Hey, you know, hey, we're at home. Arizona, who knows? That offense, you know, it's a little too fluky with Kyler Murray. That defense is good, but, you know, if we can run the ball, you could talk yourself into it. And you'll probably lose by 7 or 10 or something like that. Like, I can't just see you going on getting beaten 40-10. It can happen, but usually doesn't. In college football, there's so many bad games where, yeah, if you have an upset, if you're a Bowling Green fan, that's where you want to be. You'll be able to tell everybody in the world that you were there. You got to see Bowling Green beat Minnesota. Problem is, if you're a Minnesota fan, that's the last place in the world you want to be, is to watch Bowling Green beat your favorite college football team. So there's really no sell. Jeff Jenko had said, hey, the product is just better in the NFL. My argument is that the NFL is such a better product. Also, college traditions have gone down the tube with the conference realignments. I have been a person who said, I don't think it matters as much. I think people care about their favorite teams being really good, beating the brakes off of people. With conference realignments, traditional matchups, you have to protect them. I think that they're brought to you by sponsors. I still think people will go. I still think the biggest games people will go. Some of the other traditions, like there's always going to be a Tiger Walk. There's always going to be Script Ohio and all the other things. The Go Blue Club salute you or whatever they do when they're running out there. Like there's always going to be those ones. Historical rival matchups, it's going to be a little different now. We saw OU in Nebraska for the first time. Now there's a build-up to it, but it takes a minute. And you kind of miss it, and then you start thinking nostalgically what you've been missing out on over the last how many years now that Nebraska's been in the Big Ten. So that's a bit of a downer. But amenities, television, just overall value. People now more than ever, they pay more than they ever have for everything, and they want to know they're getting good value. And if you can't provide value, then watch the games at home. 855-212-4CBS. Doug LaMaurice is going to join us coming up in less than a half an hour. Up next, my favorite time of the week, Workers' Shoot, and it will be demonstrated by our very own Matthew Essig. Ken Carman, CBS Sports Radio. Right now, it's the latest sports update with Pete McCarthy. 855-212-4CBS. Doug LaMaurice is going to join us 5 p.m. Eastern. 5:40 p.m. Eastern. You know, you're going to be mad. You're going to eventually understand. And 5:20, I got to talk about my patriotism. I got to ask flat out a different question that has nothing to do with football whatsoever. I have to ask you about whether or not I'm a red-blooded American male. That all coming up. Worker shoot coming up. But first, I got to get to Haleem in Cleveland. Haleem wants to talk about college football attendance. Hello, Haleem.
Good talking to you, Ken.
Glad to have you, buddy. Go ahead.
I think we're overcomplicating things at this point in time. If I go to a ton of games, college football games throughout the year, and I have done so since I was 7, 8 years old, my brothers have been taking me. And one huge theme of going to a college football game, 30-40% of the people, even in a 100,000-person stadium, are from out of town. They're not local people. Like, going to a Browns game here in Cleveland, I'd say 80% of the crowd, if not more, is local. Right, you got season ticket fans, you got some people that can scalp tickets or whatnot, people bring in friends or family, everyone's localized. It's really, really simplified. I talk to friends and family, hey, why haven't any of us gone to an Ohio State game or have plans this year? No one was willing to book anything, especially when they changed the rules for hotels and Airbnbs and travel and flights, especially. The flight rules are stupid for cancellations and stuff now. When they changed the rules back after COVID slowed down, they won't even give you your money back, and you'll be lucky to get a travel voucher. So the point is, no one was willing to book. No one was willing to plan out and book travel 2, 3, 4 hours to a college football game during COVID. That's it. Next year, things, God willing, will be back to normal.
So what about, whoa. Haleem, what about Clemson in 2018 when they never sold out their stadium while they were going for a national championship and nobody knew about
COVID? Okay, let's just pick out a random thing from a random school.
From a random school, yes. Haleem, thank you, but no thank you. They were the national champions. That's not how that works. I brought up Nick Saban. Nick Saban has complained twice now during his tenure about students not going to it. I didn't pick Texas State. I picked the national champion that year, the Clemson Tigers. It's time for Worker Shoot. Are you ready, Essig?
I am absolutely ready.
But you can't jump the gun because I have to explain what worker shoot is. Are you ready? Let me explain it. Worker shoot is true or false, except it would be false or true because a work is false and a shoot is true. So if it's a shoot, that means I believe it's true. If it's false, then I'm going to say it's a work. And you might say, Ken, why did you say work or shoot instead of true or false? And I would say, listener, well, why would I call it true or false? That doesn't keep you going around. Work or shoot, that might keep you around. Or you might go, nah, I don't care. I didn't like what you had to say about college football attendance that last caller anyway, so I don't care. Damn. Okay, fine. Fine. Fair enough. But still, it's work. It's shoot. It's zesty. It's now. Essek, take it away, baby.
All right, Ken, and you talked about this earlier that you're going to bring it up later, but one of the most controversial aspects this year to the NFL has been the increase in taunting calls. Last year, there were 10 taunting calls made in total. This year, two games into the season, we've seen 11. These calls have come at high-energy times and arguably have shifted the outcomes of games already. Work or shoot, has the league gone so far that we will see teams turn down the taunting calls this year?
What? Turn down taunting calls? Wait a minute. I hung up on Haleem and I can't hang up on you?
Not right now.
Turning down taunting calls? Essek. 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 Matthew. That, my friend, is a work. Okay, Matthew, yeah. No one's ever going to turn, no, it's okay, I declined the targeting call. I don't even think you can do that, can you?
I
think targeting is targeting. I don't think you can decline it. I think you just have to accept it.
Taunting, not targeting. Sorry.
Oh, wait, taunting or targeting?
Taunting. Taunting.
Oh, see, hell, I thought you were talking about, well, either way, they're still going to take a penalty, aren't they?
I would think so, but at a certain point, you have to come to terms with if every team is getting messed up by it. You'd think that at some point they might shift it around a little bit.
Can I share a theory with you?
Go for it.
About taunting?
Go for it.
Sorry, Essek. Hell, I thought you were talking about targeting.
No, taunting.
Okay. No, you laugh at me. I'm the idiot now. Come on. There we go. Laugh audibly. Yes, let America know.
Ugh.
Ken's the stupid one. Okay. My theory is, and they've been so steadfast and crazy about it, we don't want brawls happening. Ron Rivera said that, right? And people go, brawls. And I did, I said, I can name the amount of, like, baseball, there's so many more games, so there's so many more opportunities. There's way more brawls in baseball, way more brawls in basketball. Well, not brawls, not as much. More in baseball and hockey, right? Okay. In football, I can name them off the top of my head, but that's because they're famous. Courtland Finnegan and Andre Johnson and OBJ and Josh Norman and Miles Garrett and Mason Rudolph, certainly. But I think that we're kind of getting this twisted a little bit. You ready for this theory, buddy? I meant to bring this up earlier in the show. You ready for this, Essek?
Go for it.
I think that during the course of a game, there's a lot of things being said. And people push each other's buttons. And there are words that everybody knows that you should not be saying to other people. And I think that somebody, if they're winning and they've been talking trash the entire game and have been overly excited about that for a long time, right throughout the game, I think at some point it might cause somebody to say something in order to hurt that person's feelings, something they're going to really regret because it's going to cause them probably physical harm for saying it, and then that's going to go into the public, and boy, you are going to be ostracized, and rightfully so, in the community. So that's part of the reason I do believe it. I just don't think they want to tell you. I bet there's been some scenarios where somebody has said something probably horrific, probably racial, and they do not want that making their league look different. And so they're going to knock down the taunting, whether you and I like it or not. And I've always been, because I thought about it in its purest form. Hey, they're pros. They're paid. I want my team rolling. I want my team excited. Yeah, but if somebody says the wrong thing and then that becomes a fallout for a week at least, like it was for a very long time when it came to Miles Garrett and Mason Rudolph, that's not what the league wants. That's not what the league wants whatsoever. I don't think they want that. So that's, I think that's my theory about why they are curtailing taunting.
I like it.
Okay.
All right.
I'm sorry, Essek. Damn it, I'm such an idiot. I heard a T word, and I swear the whole time I thought you were talking about targeting. It sounded like targeting.
All good.
Damn it, Matthew.
I might have misspoke. I'll have to check the tape back later. So let's stay with the NFL for a second.
I'm sorry. I was just watching this incredible Eastern Michigan-Texas State game, and I lost all track.
All good. We've been there. Staying in the NFL, currently there are 7-2-0 undefeated teams. The Rams and Bucks are the only game featuring two undefeated teams this week. Work or shoot. The Bucks will be 3-0 at the end of the week.
Okay. How many undefeated? Wait a minute. How many undefeated teams are there?
Total of 7 right now. Well, 8 if you include Carolina, but they're already 3-0.
Okay. And you're saying the Buccaneers are going to be 3-0 by the end of the week?
Yes, sir.
Oh, hell. Well, Tampa Bay's where they're at, Los Angeles, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, because we just had Joe Reedy on. You can hear that in the archives, CBSSportsRadio.com. I am going to say, work. I like the Rams in this one. I think they hand them the first loss. Boom. How you like that one? Next. Yeah.
All right. We have
Tough
under.
Lord Almighty.
We have under a week and a half before the MLB postseason kicks off, and there are still a lot of races to get into the postseason. Unfortunately, it seems like a lot of people don't really care about this season due to all the controversy. Work or shoot, do you care less this year about the MLB playoffs?
The only reason I care less about this season about the MLB playoffs is because my team's eliminated. But as far as the controversy, I think there's plenty to be. I think there's plenty to get worked up about. Houston's going to make the postseason, right? Houston's a team that everybody hates if they're not already Astros fans. People can't stand Tony La Russa. The White Sox have clinched. Tampa Bay, I think they're every small market team's dream, and Kevin Cash is a guy that a lot of people like. The Mets are probably going to find themselves out of it, obviously, here. Atlanta's been a rags-to-riches story. They came out they were expected to do well. They started off terribly, and they've been battling it out with Philly. The Brewers have just clinched not too terribly long ago. And I tell you what, the Giants, I was starting to worry about them because it seemed like every other year they were putting together a really, really good season. And then there was a couple years and Bochy leaves and all of a sudden they're a 100-game winner. Did they win their 100th last night? I thought they won their 100th last night. So they're a 100-game winner. I think there's plenty to get excited about the postseason. It's just now a lot of the cosmic tumblers are clicking into place, to borrow something from Field of Dreams here. I think that's a work as well. I'm going to say work. Hit the sounder. I just think it's football season. It's the end of the regular season with baseball. There's a lot of things that have already been figured out, with the exception of a couple scenarios. So I think people are playing out the string. And when the postseason starts, I think people are going to be in on postseason baseball. Certainly baseball fans will be in on postseason baseball. And I think regular fans during the week, if it's not a Monday or Thursday, I think they'll watch postseason baseball. But the NFL is a different animal, and college football second, and you're just not going to be able to do exactly the numbers of what those two entities do. We love football in this country. Next.
All right, sticking with that MLB playoffs, now that we have the way to... Oh, blah, blah, blah. Sorry about
it's okay.
That.
Hey, I got taunting and targeting mixed up. You go right on ahead. It's okay.
Speaking of the MLB races, over in the AL, we have Boston, Yankees, Seattle, and Toronto and Oakland all going for the AL wild card. Currently, the spots occupied are by the Red Sox and the Yankees, followed by Seattle, Toronto, and Oakland in that order. Work or shoot, Boston and the Yankees will hold on to the AL wild card slots.
The rest of the... Oh, jeez. Well, Boston and New York are playing each other right now. Man, you know what? I'm going to say a shoot. Shoot! Oh, come on, play it again. I got to hear Paul Heyman louder than that. New York's got a much tougher schedule than what Boston has to deal with. Yankees have, I know they got Tampa Bay at the end, but we'll see what Tampa Bay has. I think they'll still hold on. I think those two are going to hold on. The Red Sox, I definitely think, are going to hold on. I think their schedule is very, very nice for them. Hey, you got Baltimore coming up. Those guys are going to be running backwards. So I'm going to take Baltimore. And since I'm not going to count the Yankees with a week left in the season, I think two's big enough. I can't count on Seattle in crunch time. I know that the Yankees, to some people, have been a bit of a disappointment here recently. I'm still going to take the Yanks. I'll take Boston and the Yankees to hit those two spots. Next! Damn it, you're tough on me today. Go!
All right, and the last one. Over in the NBA, we learned that the core of the 76ers, including Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid, are about to get on a plane to visit Ben Simmons, only to be turned around. The 76ers media day is on Monday. Work or shoot, the 76ers will trade Ben Simmons this weekend to avoid media day speculation.
Oh, that's a work. That's his call, not their call. They got to get the best deal possible. They're not going to do it just to avoid the media. I'd feel, hey, you can answer the question. He's not here. He doesn't want to be here. I think it's a little bit of both. I hate that this has happened to Ben Simmons. I know it's a shorter offseason than most, and I know that we're getting close to it. Let me just say this. I think that his problems are certainly mental, and I think it takes a long time to fix those. He's a grown man. I still think it was tough that they really threw him under the bus. And it's hard not to throw him under the bus because I saw the same things you guys did. But it just feels like his whole tenure in Philadelphia, anytime they lost a game, it was always Ben Simmons' fault. And you guys know I'm right about that. Even when it wasn't Ben Simmons' fault, you just blame Ben Simmons. He just wasn't the guy. You wanted to give everybody else the benefit of the doubt except Ben Simmons. So there's a lot to what he's saying that I actually understand. It's just, oh, God, this is ugly. But you got to get the best deal possible for that player. You can't just do it to avoid media speculation. I'm going to say that is absolutely a work. Coming up at 5:20 p.m. Eastern, a question of my patriotism. Up next, author, writer, Doug LaMaurice. We talk college football with him. Ken Carmen, CBS Sports Radio.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.